Good morning, everybody. Thank you guys for coming. I hope everyone's awake, alert. I don't know. We'll see. So I did two practicums, as Scott said. I thought it was a really good experience for me to see two different sides of Kenya. So the first one I did was the one that he was speaking about in southern Kenya, where it's a quantitative study on water and health and how those affect. My background is in foster care, working domestically, so this was much more my speed, what I'm going to talk about today, and it was working with an at-risk girls group in western Kenya in a place called Kisumu, which is a town on Lake Victoria of about 500,000 people. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Oh, I have nothing to disclose, so. My goal today is to talk a little bit about the background and the context of what I did and what I wanted to do, what some of my goals were, what I actually did while I was in Kisumu, some of the lessons I learned, and then some of the life after the MPH. So I'm going to speak a little bit more directly to the students in the room. So I'm sorry to everyone else who's here, but I hope that you can benefit from some of what I'm going to share. So in selecting my practicum, I talked a little bit about how the first one I did was a little bit more quantitative, a little bit more traditional public health. This was more important to me to get this view of Kenya as well. Like I said, my background is in foster care advocacy, and so I wanted to bring some of those strengths to the table to an agency in Kisumu. I was only at this organization for 8 weeks, so that is not a lot of time, but I wanted to maximize my time there, send some really good deliverables to the organization, and I think in order to do that, you really have to listen to what the organization needs. I think so often we go over there very excited to do this work, and it's wonderful, but I think you really need to listen. What does the agency need? What are you going to leave them with? Because at the end of the day, we are all going to leave. And that agency is going to continue to function without you. So what can you do to amplify your time there and leave them with something that's really tangible? So a little bit about the organization. I worked at KMET, which is Kisumu Medical and Educational Trust. And it is in the heart of Kisumu, a town of about 500,000 with some really interesting statistics. It's a Millennium Development Village city. The poverty rate is about 53%. The HIV rate is 15%. And the rate in Kenya is 6%. So there's a lot of at-risk behaviors going on. The economy has some challenges. There was post-election violence there a few years ago. So where I was working was an interesting place because it was a Kenyan-based organization, and they did a number of different initiatives, one of which was Sisterhood for Change, which is the initiative I worked in. It was in a different area than the headquarters, which I think they all reside in the same area now, but it worked with at-risk girls that may have done commercial sex work, may have been working on the streets, may have had sporadic education on a number of different levels, so a very vulnerable population. And they did vocational training for these girls in tailoring, catering, and hairdressing, as well as reproductive health training. So when you are getting ready to go on a practicum or a job abroad or really to do anything, you have like what you plan out and you're really strategic. Okay, this is going to be what I do. This is the plan. These are my goals. And then it inevitably changes into something else because it's never what you think it will be. So I think that ability to roll with the punches and that ability to just say, okay, I'm going to revamp the plan, that is really what your attitude should be in anything in development. I think it would really lead to your success. So that was my task for the 8 weeks that I was at Sisterhood for Change. So initially they had some profiles that they wanted me to write on the girls there. There were about 22 girls in the program when I got there. And it had been going on for a few years previously. So some were working out in the field in their designated vocation. And some were in a place called Safe Space, which is kind of a safe haven for girls that couldn't quite get to the employment that they were trying to get to. So I did some of the things that they wanted me to do, but then I thought, okay, what do I have in my toolbox that I can pull out and use and help amplify some of these projects? So, for example, the profiles that I did were great. I did some demographics on the girls, where they were coming from, statistics. About 72% of the girls in the program had their own children. So things like that that were just not documented. But then I also used that and put it in a book, which was a book of the girls' stories called Against All Odds, which they now use in Kenya as a marketing tool, along with a CD of the girls singing. And it's really the girls' stories from their perspectives, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But I also put together a life skills manual, a mentoring program, a training manual. I did an internal qualitative study to assess some of the questions that they needed answered, some strategic meetings that I did, and an internal monitoring evaluation plan, which I'll talk about in a little bit. So the life skills manual, this is something that I thought about working in foster care, I worked with so many children in San Diego that maybe would have like the food and shelter met, but all the other things were missed because of their life. It was just a very, you know, living in trauma, you miss certain intrinsic things growing up. And for the girls at Sister River Change, this was no different. They had a lot of things that they just missed along the way because of the unfortunate circumstances that they were in. And now that they were in a place like Sisterhood for Change, they could get those. The program concentrated on vocational training and reproductive health, like I said, so really basic things like finance, childcare, you know, like I said, most of them had their own children, so hygiene, workplace decorum, things like that that we could implement and weave into the program a little bit. We set up biweekly meetings to have people from Kisumu, such as bankers, different people in the medical sector come in and talk to the girls about some of these basic things, and that way they could be in a comfortable forum where they could ask questions. I constructed a manual for them to use after I left as well to go through with the girls. Again, one of the lessons I learned in foster care is there's really no other way to show somebody where they're going than to see someone like themselves being in a successful place. So a mentoring program was really important for me to kickstart and get going while I was there. You know, these girls are coming from very traumatic backgrounds and in very unstable situations, and they are in a place that's safe for 8 hours a day. So how do we maximize that time when they're safe and figure out how to propel them into the future? So we would bring in people from the Kisumu area and have them do biweekly talks, just like the life skills, on things that were where they would want to go. There's a tailoring program there. Some of the girls were learning how to do seamstressing. We brought in a very successful tailor in the Kisumu area. She's from Kisumu. She was born and raised there. And then she was able to talk to the girls about how she was able to have her own business and have her own art studio and do different things. We also brought in some people from the medical field, teachers, things like that, so the girls could really see themselves on, okay, this is what I want to do, and here are some steps on how to get there. Like I said, I did a qualitative study where I just asked basic questions about where the girls were coming from, some of those basic demographics, but also like where they were planning on going after the program, and then I documented a lot of where they were after the program. So the girls were in the program for about 8 months. They did an internship, and then they were to go out in the field and work in their designated vocation. So I followed a lot of those girls that had been through the program, and there were about 200 total. So I ended up following about 32 of those girls. And this is one of the girls doing the hairdressing class. So this is probably the thing I was most proud of that I did while I was there. Also something I learned when I worked in foster care, documenting child stories. While I was doing the qualitative study, I was sitting there and listening to these girls and thinking, I don't know that anyone's ever sat down and really just listened to them and listened to how their lives are and what their lives are and the challenges that they face. So after I did the qualitative study, I went back and I spent a few hours with 20 of the girls over the course of those 8 weeks and just listened. You know, I asked very specific questions like, where do you live, what's your home environment, things like that, but I also asked, what are your dreams, what do you want for your life, what do you want for your children? So the goal was to see their life through their lens and their perspective and really give them a voice. And this is Vivian, part of her story. So each girl had a page in the book, as well as some information about KMED, information about Sisterhood for Change specifically, and then about Kisumu in general, because I think to understand the context to which these girls live, you have to understand the environment as a whole. And they now use it, like I said, as a marketing tool, and they sell it throughout Kenya and beyond in order to promote these girls and some of the challenges they face, and also the impression that Sisterhood for Change has left in their lives and how it's altered some of their choices and their paths to a more successful future. So reproductive health was one of the main components of the program, but there was no manual to go by. So what I did was I documented all the lectures and the things that were being taught to these girls in one place. My background in foster care was doing training, so I thought it's really important to have something that's consistent, like the message that they're disseminating, to be consistent. So as the new girls come into the program and circulate out, it would be really great to have a consistent message throughout. So I constructed a training manual with reproductive health highlights, and then they could add on as that grew. So something that was relatively simple that we employed while we were there were strategic meetings. And it sounds really like, okay, there's a meeting every morning. The girls would come in, very excited for the new day, and they'd be there all day with us at the, it was almost like a compound area. We would stay all day, we'd have lunch together, all of these things, and they'd go into their perspective and respective vocational sections. But I really wanted to just get the day started and amp up a little bit. So I designated each girl had one day a month, and they would lead the session in the morning, and they could do whatever they wanted. They could do a prayer, a song, a dance, whatever they felt, but we would all stand in a circle and start the morning off together with a plan and a structure and how the day would follow. And it really helped the girls feel empowered. You know, at first you had very, I don't want to do this. Kristen, why are you making me do this? But it really turned out to be something that they valued and carried on well after I left. So like I said, after the qualitative study, I did a monitoring and evaluation plan. One of the other things I wanted to add was, you know, so often I think in public health, we duplicate work that has already been done. There was a beautiful study that had been done about 2 years before I got there by a woman from the University of Texas. And so I read that and looked at it and really thumbed through, okay, this has been done. What can I do to amplify? What other work has been done at KMET already that I can do and amplify and use what they already have? I asked some questions about where the girls are now. I asked some questions about, you know, what are they doing, what their employment rate is, what their home life, what has changed, the influence the program has had on them. And then I also did an exit survey at the end so that they could implement that when the girls graduated from the program and matriculated out. Okay, so I wanted to end by some hurdles, strengths, and takeaways. One of the things that I wanted to talk about is communication. I think sometimes when we're out in the field, we think we're saying everything, we think it's being received, and then at the end of the day, we're like, were we having the same conversation? Because no one was hearing each other. So listening and then communication is so invaluable, I think, in this field, and so really important to be communicating with the right people, to be disseminating the information that you want to get across. You know, we're there for a short period of time. Like I said, my co-presenters were there for much longer, so I really needed to make the most of my time there. I was there for 2 months. For me, the on-the-ground experience was invaluable. BU is very strong on practical experience, and that to me was what I needed. I needed the global experience, and I certainly got that there. Like Scott said, I work at Futures Group in DC now, and we do global policy work, and I can tell you I think about my experience in Kenya probably every day, and it was really, really helpful for me. To the people that are looking to do a practicum, to use your pre-MPH experience, to use your, you know, what you've been doing before as tools to think about, okay, how can I address this differently, or how can I come up with a solution, and kind of to be able to think on your feet, I think is really important. It may be a really simple thing, but it really does work. And just the little victories, I think sometimes those little victories turn into really big ones, the little hills that turn into mountains. This is a picture of a young lady and her daughter. And when I got there, you know, I worked in foster care, so I saw a lot of children with failure to thrive issues. And this child was severely underweight, was despondent, did not interact with other children, did not interact with her mother, never saw her smile, and I am very proud of this moment when I walked in one day and they were smiling at each other, and I just thought, oh, yes. And I think it's about those little victories in public health that really make the difference and turn the tide into a success and something that you can be proud of and feel like, okay, you know, it may have been small in the big scheme of things, but to that family, to that woman, to that child, it did make a difference and left an impression. So thank you. I think we're going to take a couple questions, and then at the end, do we have time? Did I talk too long? No? Okay. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have about anything that I've said, or we can go on to the next person. Okay?
Thanks, Kristen.